Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start. Same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becklass AB to CV 2024, Proximo, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
San Antonio District Judge resigns after a federal corruption probe.
A former San Antonio, Texas judge goes to federal prison after pleading guilty to accepting bribes in exchange for rigging cases in his court. Angus McGinty committed the ultimate judicial sin. Why did you do it?
I did it because I was foolish.
Listen to How to Bribe a Judge on RevolverPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The John Anik and Kenny Florian Podcast. John Anik and Kenny Florian.
I fucking love them. I can't get enough of them.
Let's hear that Boston accent.
Big jab there from Duffy and Brett Mears.
They're a couple of absolutely self-involved bullshit artists.
Here are your hosts, John Anik and Kenny Florian.
Oh, back in the home studio for the first time in 3 weeks, maybe. It's Monday, July 20th. We've shifted the time of our broadcast, Ken Flo. So we're coming to you at 6 p.m. Eastern. It is 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the West Coast. It's episode 259 of the Anik and Florian podcast. Oh, is it good to see? Is it good to be back in the United States of America? Good afternoons.
It's good to see you as well, man. First of all, how are you functioning? Are you on Abu Dhabi time right now? Vegas time? What the hell is going on?
So I'm on Eastern Standard Time. I mean, I tried to stay on U.S. time, so I think I navigated it as best you can. I'm drinking green tea. Drinking, my own urine like Lyoto Machida, although it looks that way. But it's great to be back, and there's so much to talk about, and I could get into all the behind-the-scenes stuff in Abu Dhabi. This W Hotel in Abu Dhabi was just absurd. The whole experience was absolutely crazy. Everybody in hazmat suits and nasal swabs and throat swabs, and, you walk downstairs to get tested. It smells like the cleanest place on earth, you know? I mean, it smells like sanitizer. They clean the chair as soon as you get up. Couldn't have been in better hands, and wow. It's crazy juxtaposed against what all these other sports leagues are going through right now. The UFC and Dana White and the executives all deserve a lot of credit, obviously. But, gosh, I mean, I don't even know where to begin. You know, I printed out all these fight cards again, Kenny. We had two fight cards, and we need to recap it somehow. I guess we can start with what's most recent, and then Calvin Kattar can be second. But Davison Figueiredo is a UFC flyweight champion, and there's no doubt about it. Not only that this division, I think, 125 pounds for the men deserves to be around, but that there might be a dominant champion. What an effort by the Brazilian. It's hard for me. My memory's not great. But to think about another champion winning a belt, vacant or otherwise, so emphatically the way he did on Saturday night.
You know, there was a lot of pressure on him. Obviously, his last fight against Benavidez, very controversial, of course, because he didn't make the weight. And the fact that he was able to make the weight and perform like he did, even better than he did in his first outing against Benavidez, really says something about this champion. And I know you have more information on all the kind of trials and tribulations that he had to deal with just to get out to Abu Dhabi and make that weight. But this guy is an assassin. I think he's really coming into his own. He's comfortable in his style and who he is as a person. And really has matured as a fighter. The fact that he was able to look that good against a guy in Benavidez who's been around for what seems like forever, yeah, and has accomplished what he has in this sport really says a lot about how damn good Figueiredo is.
the quarantine that he had to go through, right? First in Sao Paulo after, I think, allegedly testing positive. So his quarantine there was extended. I was told the accommodations there weren't ideal. Some people couldn't even open a window, which obviously is very different than having a balcony, for example.
Right.
But, you know, Joseph Benavidez had gotten out of his quarantine in Abu Dhabi before Davison Figueroa had even arrived at the host hotel. So he gets out of his quarantine in Abu Dhabi on weigh-in day. Certainly not ideal, but clearly he attacked the weight management several months prior, right, and made a calculated effort to make sure he would land at 125 pounds. Fought beautifully. I don't know if he would have been able to sustain it, but there wasn't much defensively there from Benavidez. Technically, what were your thoughts on the fight? Because, you know, this was really thrill and agony in every sense.
It really was. You know, it was tough because there's just a lot of fundamental flaws in the striking game of Benavidez. You can't just, you know, put your head down and charge in straight lines or back up in straight lines in this sport anymore. The sport has evolved a lot. And, you know, coming off of his last performance against Figueiredo, I said, you know, these are things that are kind of embedded into the bones of Benavidez at this point. It's going to be hard to really untie all those knots and all those problems. So I didn't like this fight for Figueiredo. I didn't like this fight for Benavidez, sorry, against Figueiredo, based on how they matched up the first time around. Benavidez just wasn't feinting properly. He didn't really attack with his wrestling. I don't know if he wasn't able to get into the proper range for whatever reason, but Figueiredo, it was just very patient, was landing the right shots, and Benavidez's footwork was just not there. And it was hard because everyone loves Joe Benavidez. He's a great guy. He's been around forever. We've seen him so close before, and it's just unfortunate all the way around. Just in the way that he took, took that beating, it was just hard. It was hard to watch.
Yeah, I thought it lined up well for him. Obviously, there were adjustments that weren't made. You know, I'm not the technical go-to source, but certainly that performance left a lot to be desired. I know he's disappointed, you know, and this one stings. You know, I feel for Megan, obviously, who's my good friend, his wife, and she's had to deal with a lot of shit as reporter and wife. So I feel for her. In all likelihood, this was his last chance to break through. And, you know, I know you've been on the wrong side of UFC title fights and you can relate to a lot of that. You know, this will be a tough few days for him, no doubt about it. But this is a performance from Davison Figueiredo that has to be celebrated, even though our time is short per the fucking 15 athletes I have to get to today. But so this guy wins the flyweight championship. He does so decisively. He's about as watchable as it gets. And I got to hear from our producer, Cody Mero, talking about 135 pounds. People are talking about Cody Garbrandt or Henry Cejudo coming back. You know, I'd like to just see this guy enjoy a championship and maybe just take on whoever is near the top. I don't know what Brendan Moreno's up to. I'm sure there are ranked guys. I don't know who the number one contender is now that it's not Benavidez, but I'd like to see Figueiredo try to stay at 125 pounds and be a dominant champion like he looked on Saturday.
I would as well. And listen, I think the UFC does as well. The UFC has been looking for a guy who they really can build the division around. Figueiredo and his style is something that I think really could be marketed. He's an excellent champion, and I think he's going to be there for a little while, man. What a fantastic fighter he is.
How about that? Just pulled it out of my ass. Brandon Moreno. See, this 6 o'clock start time might not be good for me. You know, it's a lot we can put in our system before this time. So Moreno is number three in the world. Alexandre Pantoja, four. Alex Perez, five. Juicy A, four. Miga, six. On and on it goes. I understand there's not a big name among them necessarily. And hey, if Cody Garbrandt, you know, wants to cut down to 125 pounds, I wish him all the best with it. But I can't say that I'd advise that. Even though I know he seems to have the appetite for it. I'm always in the business of Triple C. I'm always in the C4 business. If Cejudo wants to come back, I guess I just don't want to direct the conversation out of the division right now. Even though I do think Figueiredo, it stands to reason, could be competitive up at 35. The other main event winner out of Methuen, Massachusetts, Ken Flo. I mean, do we have a shot here? Do we have a guy who can potentially, I mean, the stars would have to align, but we're in a climate that is unforeseen when the UFC is going to the hot hand. Calvin Kattar's in business at featherweight. He wins the main event. his words when not a lot of guys are competing. What'd you think of the Methuen native Calvin Kattar over Dan Ige a few days ago?
I think it was another hell of a performance from Kattar, who fought it an absolute beast in Dan Ige. Listen, I don't think Ige, you know, lost any respect in that fight. He is a savage, a guy who can take a lot of punishment. Kattar did his best to try to get him out of there, wasn't quite able to do it. But I thought Kattar looked fantastic. His striking is fantastic. I think he continues to evolve and get better. He definitely is a student of the game. And he has, you know, quietly on the mic, but, you know, really proved himself to be one of the best in the world. I think he's only going to get better, and I'm really curious to see how he does against, you know, the top guys in that division moving forward.
You know, his nose got busted May 9th against Jeremy Stephens. He didn't know how that would hold up. You know, it was compromised early in the fight, but thankfully he was, you know, there's risk, right? But he just felt like he couldn't refuse this opportunity, right? You're not perfect necessarily when you're making a quick turn to go five rounds. He said he went to the elbows and the knees because his hands hurt, right? So maybe that is something that you need to monitor going forward for Kattar. Doesn't have the biggest hands in the world, but hey, he can go to those other, you know, non-padded elements when he needs to. He has a tremendous head coach in Tyson Chartier. There's a lot of details, right? And Tyson would admit to you that they got a lot of details wrong, even in this fight, you know, but they're certainly working hard as Boston's fifth team to try to bring one home. And when you can get a win and not be perfect, I know they'll take it.
You know, there's very few guys who throw elbows as good as Kattar. You know, you look at his last performance against Jeremy Stephens when he knocked him out in tight. There was a time where he knocked down Ige with a short elbow on the inside. He is developing, like I said. He's adding weapons into his arsenal, and that doesn't sound good for the rest of the guys in that division.
So when one generation of fans and fighters talk about elbows, you know who they talk about, right? They talk about Kenny Florian. Right. Go to Joe Rogan's Wikipedia page. Excuse me. Ken Flo's Wikipedia page. Right. It says, you know, elbows or whatever Rogan called them. Ken Flo famous for elbows. And we're going to talk to a guy, Jared Gordon, later today who maybe you could give him a few pointers on some of those fucking Ken Flo elbows. Just cut your face right open. Because again, ground and pound, I do think is a lost art and something Jared Gordon is very good at. But I know you're talking about standing elbows a little bit, but Kattar makes him count on the ground as well.
Yes.
And knows his way around an elbow. All right. So we went to Figueredo. We went to Calvin Kattar. So there are all these rookies, right, Ken Flo, that are coming in. And some of them, mixed martial arts is their first art, right? They started mixing them all together. Yeah. But we are in a generation right now where there's so much new talent coming into the UFC. And so much of it is just so lethal and so elite and so ready to contend and take spots in the rankings. You know, Jack Shore and even Lerone Murphy over Ricardo Ramos. Khamzat Chimaev is the guy everybody's talking about, up at 85 against John Phillips. Looked like he could really contend at welterweight. Munir Lazez over Abdulrazak Al-Hassan. It's amazing that these lesser known guys are what everybody is talking about right now. We threw out a poll question at Anik Florian Pod, which UFC rookie, so it's got to be a newcomer, who won on Fight Island over the last week or so, has the best chance to become a UFC champion. We threw out Yuri Prohazka, the win over Volkan Uzdemir, Khamzat Chimaev, Munir Lazez, and Amir Albazi. 50% of you, 50.1%, said Khamzat Chimaev. Did you see the preliminary fighter, Khamzat Chimaev, who the UFC's... Go ahead.
Unfortunately, I did not see Chimaev. That's the one guy I did not see. I did not see his fight. I got to go back and watch it. I have it recorded. But I love the poll. Sorry, I keep going.
So he was 50%. Yuri was 34.2%. And Munir Lazez, 10%. And on down it went. But Chimaev's fighting again on Saturday at the top of the main card. They're going seven deep on the main card. 15 fights. Totally obnoxious for the broadcast team. But so he's going to fight again and make the quick turn. It was absolutely incredible. And I think it's a microcosm for everything that's going on in the UFC right now. Munir Lazez, just this calm, violent combination. And I do think Abdulrazak Al-Hassan will be back and will be back better than ever. He dealt with a lot just to make this walk. But you did see Lazez, I take it, given your reaction there.
I did, man. First of all, what a savage. First of all, you know, his ability to stay calm when Al-Hassan was trying to knock his head off, literally, and he took some shots, man. So this kid is tough. He is composed. He's got a chin. And then he started unleashing weapon by weapon throughout the rest of that fight and picked Al Hassan apart. Really showed the whole mixed martial arts game, mixing in takedowns, elbows, knees, step knees, you know, kicks from the outside, leg kicks. Man, what a fantastic striker. I was blown away by his performance. I was inspired. He is definitely someone to watch. He's in a very tough division, so I don't know if he'll be a future champion. That's right. Why I didn't. I actually went and picked on the poll. I went Yuri Prochaska.
Right.
You know, but anyways, there is really some great young talent in the UFC right now.
Divisionally, you're right, though. It is so hard for Khamzat Chimaev. He might break Chaz Skelly's record, get two wins here inside of 8 days or whatever it is. But yeah, it's a lot different for Yuri, who just took out the number seven guy in the world and might be two more knockouts away from a championship opportunity. So I understand why you went in that direction. But yeah, Lizez, just awesome and so thoughtful. My God. I mean, there's just an intellectual component to the way a lot of these guys are approaching things. And when they parlay that with the violence, I don't know. You just got the sense that you were seeing some special debuts, and not that they were out of nowhere, right? I mean, Chimaev just beat two undefeated guys to get to the UFC back to back, you know, so it's not like they're beating tomato cans to get there, but not necessarily jumping off the film maybe the way he jumped out of the octagon and just disposed of John Phillips the way he did. And Lerone Murphy too, a guy who just had two really tough fights, Zubair Tuhugov and Ricardo Ramos back to back, and is able to get out of that with a draw and a TKO. All these performances. Did you see Jack Hermanson and Kelvin Gastelum, the co-main event on Saturday night?
I would have, but ESPN kind of had some issues with ESPN Plus. Yeah. So I literally, I'm watching the fight. I saw like 10 seconds of it. Then it came back on 10 seconds of it. And of course I missed the submission, the heel hook finish there by Hermanson. But man, this guy, he just has a knack for the submission game. And yet this isn't one other thing that his opponents have to worry about, whether it's, you know, that front guillotine with the arm in, arm out, doesn't matter. Or now this heel hook, he is something special. I think Kelvin maybe was a little bit too lackadaisical in his defense and his approach. Maybe he hit a beautiful throw and got, you know, taken right into a dangerous heel hook. But Hermanson, man, what a performance. That was unbelievable.
Yeah. And full disclosure, I missed it live as well. I was watching ESPN Plus and had a little mishap down here in South Florida. So we went back and watched it. But, you know, tough to see KG go out like that. But Jack Hermanson is really a problem and really knows his way around a submission. And got to feel good for the guy, too. Right. He had the Copenhagen fight with Jared Cannonier. Looked like everything was coming together for him, and then has one of those 2-year setbacks, I like to call them, when you lose in sort of a contender's bout. So a huge win for him to come back, and we'll see if Gastelum can sort of regroup here. But this is a pretty big setback for him, right on the heels of the Darren Till split decision loss. And he said he was embarrassed, so maybe you need to bottom out before you can really affect change. So we'll see where Gastelum goes, but highlight for Jack Hermanson over the weekend for sure. Whether you're working on your fitness or working from home, seems these days everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you got to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. You already know Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. And now, having tried them, I can tell you they sound just as good as the other top audio brands you know. So Ken Flo and I got a pair of the newest model. They're called the Everyday E25 earbuds. So these are the best ones yet. 6 hours of playtime, easiest Bluetooth pairing I've ever experienced. Great bass in these things as well. Also a more compact design that gives you a nice noise isolating fit. Perfect for conference calls or podcasts. They're also discreet, no wires, no stems. So video calls, very good for that. I've actually done interviews in these things. You can't even tell I'm wearing them. And I would encourage you to at least go online, and I bet you'll be picking up a pair of Raycons to see what the hype is all about. So now is the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/AnnickFlorian. That's buyraycon.com/AnnickFlorian for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. buyraycon.com/AnnickFlorian. All right, 5 minutes delayed to Ray Longo. Let's get to the Ray Longo man.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. So when you are at your best, you can do great things, but sometimes life gets you bogged down and you may feel a touch overwhelmed. Perhaps you're not showing up the way that you would like to. I can certainly relate. You know, there's a phrase in the song, there's no business like show business. And it says, there's no people like show people. They smile when they are low.
And for me, being in the public eye has been challenging, at least in terms of always projecting happiness when perhaps that's not how I'm feeling. Well, whatever your situation, working with a therapist can help you get closer to the best version of you. And when you feel empowered, you're more prepared to take on everything that life throws your way. For me, it's imperative that I'm my best self in order to just perform at a high level. And when I don't feel that way, BetterHelp is a great option and a great resource for therapy. It's convenient, flexible, affordable, and entirely online. You just fill out a brief questionnaire. That gets you matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch out anytime for no additional charge if you're not happy. For me, I'm on the road about 100 nights a year, so being able to connect with someone remotely was absolutely huge for me. And my mindset really candidly has changed for the better. So if you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/AnikFlorian today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/AnikFlorian.
It's now time for the Ray Longo Minute.
I want you to punch a hole in this fucking chest. That's what I want.
The Ray Longo Minute. John Anik and Kenny Florian podcast.
Oh, it's the highlight of everybody's week, right? The Ray Longo Minute. Just mine? Just my week?
Mine too.
Oh, shoot, man. You know, I got two fans. That's good. I'll take it.
Yeah.
You know what? It's not the quantity, guy. It's the quality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Come on. This is friendship at its highest level.
So how you doing, man? I guess there's a lot of mixed martial arts on television if you get bored in quarantine.
You know what I find interesting is that ESPN still find a way to put cornhole on before MMA. I find that is it just me? I mean, who doesn't like a good game? Yeah, who's watching that? Is anybody? Can we get the numbers on that? Who's watching cornhole?
I'm sure we could. We could chase those for you, Raymond. I have not.
Yeah, my vote is to put turtle racing next. What do you want? See a good fight in the cage or some turtle racing?
Well, they get you worked up with the cornhole to get you fired up for the fight. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I almost launched a brick through my TV the last time. Yeah, it got me fired up for sure.
Do you watch the hot dog eating contest or no?
You know, I guess I see clips,
right?
But I don't really watch it now.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I can't do the wet hot dog buns after a while. I check out, so I haven't seen that in a while. Haven't ingested that in a while. So, lots going on with you, obviously. So Matt Serra was supposed to go to Fight Island and get the title shot for Aljamain Sterling. Do you have any update on that for the Anik and Florian podcast listeners?
Now listen, subsequent to my conversation with you, I had a very nice conversation with Matt. He's pretty confident Aljo's getting that shot. All right. And so am I. I mean, listen, what's right is right. You know, I think what's in the universe, that's it. Aljamain Sterling versus Petr Yan. I think that's the fight everybody wants to see. Listen, man, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, Matt also said, you know, at the time they were talking to Dana, it was like, you could agree or disagree with this because you were there. But he said it was like 5:30 in the morning. Like everybody's schedule was flipped around. Everybody just wanted to go home. So I don't know if that was the right time to be quizzing anybody, you know,
but
I got a good feel on the fight. I think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's the fight everybody wants to see. They both certainly have earned their spot there. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think it's pretty simple. You know, I think Aljo's the guy and he's stoked. And let's give the fans what they want.
Yeah. So we got a lot of Georgian fighters sort of taking the bull by the horns in the UFC. Liana Jojua with a big submission win. Your guy Marab is fighting John Dodson. So our producer Cody Merrow, as soon as Marab won his last fight, he said it's going to be John Dodson next. And that's the fight. Do you have a date for that one? Are you guys all systems go or what?
No, all systems go. August 15th. He's having a great camp so far. Great. I mean, fantastic sparring partners for this fight. I mean, listen, Dodson's just a shitty fight for anybody. You know what I mean? Because he always has that, you know, one punch knockout. And he's not, you know, he's tricky. But I think it's a great test for Marab. And he's excited. I'm excited. It's going to be a great fight. And again, I think we got the perfect work for it. And he is a machine, man. You know, he really is. The guy just doesn't stop. I mean, just even Saturday with the sparring, we have a great time. We just laugh, you know, because I love when Aljo watches him spar somebody else Aljo just sits there. He laughs the whole time because he knows what it's like to be, you know, getting stalked by that guy. So when it's somebody else, you know what I mean, Kenny? It's really funny. It was, yeah, we had a really good time. So I'm psyched for him. Yep.
That's really awesome. Good.
Yeah. Great kid. I always said, and I'm always going to say, fantastic kid.
The motors on some of these young guys like Marab and even Ricky Simone, right? Obviously, who had that seminal moment with him. But dude, to all the offense over 15 minutes, the pace is just absurd, you know.
Yeah.
All right, so I want to get to some of these performances. So, how many of these fights did you watch? The two shows on Wednesday and Saturday. How many of these fights of these, you know, 25 fights?
No, I think I've seen most of them. You might have to refresh me on a couple, you know, but. Who was the main event Wednesday?
That would be the Methuen, Massachusetts native, Calvin Cater.
Oh, yeah. Great fight.
Right.
Yeah. I scored that fight way in his favor, 49-46. I don't know what – I mean, I think there was somebody online, like a news source that had the other guy winning, which I think is bizarre.
It's insane. You could argue that Cater actually won every round, too. I mean, there was one that was close, but – Yeah,
no, without a doubt. I think Cater, if I'm Calvin Cater at this point, I would sit back and wait. I think he deserves a lot of big fights. I mean, he's getting big fights, but I think five rounds is perfect for him, man. I think his hands are just sharp, man. His combos are vicious. He gets it. He's got the right attitude. I just don't want to see him just fighting every week and burning out like that before he gets to a title shot. You know what I mean? So.
Right. Right.
He's got to be close to something. His hands are fucking dynamite, man.
Oh, I love hearing you talk like that. I really do.
Yeah.
You know, because I know what the kid puts into it. And again, he made his pro debut in 2007. He's been at it a long time. You know, Dan Ige will have his time. I think he's 28 years old, and I think he's going to be a real nuisance for many guys in that top 10, if not top 15. So I'm excited to see Ige's future as well.
Yeah, look, Ige, tough as nails, durable. Look at him and Barboza. Not that I thought he won that fight, but, man, he definitely endured a lot of punishment. So he can endure the punishment and keep going. And I think he did the same thing with Cater, with Qatar, or I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right. But he's definitely a tough kid. I mean, you can't take that away from him. But he just didn't do enough to win those rounds. I don't know what people were talking about.
So what about the new flyweight champion, Davison Figueiredo? Can you spell it for $1,000, both names?
Couldn't spell it for $50,000.
Just try it for $1,000 right now. Davison Figueiredo.
Figueiredo.
Just leave the money on the floor.
No, do I have to get it right or phonetically? So I'm going to go Fig, F-I-G. E-R.
Nope. All right. Good try, buddy.
F-I-G-A-A-R.
It's close.
Big R.
You're missing a U in there, but hell of a fighter, huh?
Oh,
how
me,
about him?
U. P-U. That's what I got.
Yeah.
P-U. Hey, good, John. Thanks for highlighting that. I'm an illiterate. I appreciate that.
No. Well, hey, it's like I could spell Yoani Jacek any which way. I could probably spell it backwards, but Figueiredo, I got to work on that one. You know, there's a lot of vowels in there in both names. We got Davison down after the weekend, but more importantly, what'd you think of the fighter, man?
I could spell Jan, if that helps.
Yeah.
You listen, first off, Joe Benavidez, one thing he's got going for him, he's beloved by everybody. I hope he holds his head up. He's had a great career. Exciting fights, fucking awesome scrambles in every one of those damn fights. So, you know, I my heart goes out to him because I know how much he had into this. But, you know, this was definitive. And, you know, look, there's nothing that chapter's closed. That kid looked really good. He's powerful. And that submission was perfect. You know, so he had a great performance, and he put a stamp on what everybody was questioning. So you always have to love those performances.
Unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
To get that choke home, incredible.
You're too mellow today. Can you start cursing? All I read online is they like when you curse.
Yeah, they like that side of me, huh? It's amazing that I haven't slipped on broadcast yet. I did drop an F-bomb on pay-per-view once. I asked Joe. I was like, I'll probably say this right now. He's like, say it. So
yeah.
I think we said motherfucker or something.
Just for the people, motherfucker and tits. Can I hear that? can I hear that, please?
Yeah. Well, no, I won't say that. I won't say that. I mean, my daughters are listening.
That's what the people want. I thought it was a new era. We need ratings.
It is a new era today. It is a new era. I'm getting used to the time slot, you know, a little rusty, still adjusting, you know, but trying to have, you know, trying to have that energy for the Ray Longo minute. I have several more questions for you.
Oh, let's do it. I'm so, oblivious, man. This is my time. I love this time. 1 o'clock. I'm just getting up at 1 o'clock.
This is actually custom built for you. This is like prime time.
Oh, yeah.
So I said before you came on that for Kelvin Gastelum, sometimes you have to sort of bottom out to affect change. And I'm not saying that Chris Weidman has bottomed out, but seems like some switch has been lit with him. Is he in South Carolina getting ready for this fight right now?
He's with Wonder Boy. Yes. Right now he's coming back at the end of the week. I think he'll do a week here and then he goes right to Vegas.
And then are you going to Vegas? Is that still the plan? I mean, the climate's changing every day.
Yeah, that's still the plan. But then, you know, I'm getting texts from people that Vegas is shutting down. I don't know what's going on. Look, it's what's going on. If they're open and everything's good, I'm 99% sure I'm going. We already spoke about it. And we'll see what happens. And I don't know. I might just stay the week because Marab's, you know, coming the following week. And then Mizuki's right after that, but somebody else will have to do that. So,
yeah.
Look, my concern now, Juz, is it's not even catching anything. It's being quarantined for 2 weeks. I mean, that anxiety of being stuck in Vegas. And nonetheless, that's stuck and being healthy would drive me nuts.
Right.
I mean, I might have to break out and take whatever fine they have. I'm just warning everybody.
Well, if you're healthy, though, healthy enough to drive across the country. I know that's not appetizing, but you can drive home if you test positive. You can't drive home from Abu Dhabi, but you can drive home from Vegas.
Listen, my heart was pounding for you, buddy. Let me tell you. Well, I'm not even joking. You know what? Like I hear situations like that, Kenny. I put myself in there, and then that's the reaction you get. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, Sarah wasn't. He was flipping the first couple of days. He was calling me up. He wasn't sounding good. And that guy,
oh man,
I think you could light an A-bomb next to him. He doesn't give a shit about anything. You know what I mean, Kenny? I'll be on the train going somewhere. We'll miss our stop. Just doesn't give a fuck. Yeah. And the guy, I just never see it bother, and nothing bothers him.
Yeah,
that's from jiu-jitsu right there. You see?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the synergy with the jiu-jitsu and maybe the marijuana for him just chills him right out. So what about Abu Dhabi though, right? Because a lot of us are trying to wrap our heads around a potential reality that has us going there for a month and having them rip off a bunch of shows there if Vegas shuts down. You know, I just, the UFC is not going to be denied. They've proven in three different places that they can do live events while, you know, respectfully the other leagues sort of trip over their own feet. So would you go to Abu Dhabi in this climate or no?
I don't know. If I go, it's going to be, you see the start of the show when Bisping's yelling at the airport. I empathize with that guy. I feel like I'm doing the same crap. I'm on a short fuse right now with everything.
Yeah.
So I don't know about that. I can't say what I'm doing with that. But
right.
You know what's sad about that whole thing, John? I would love to go to Dubai or Abu Dhabi. I really would. And that's what this whole thing just...
Good luck keeping Ray Longo locked up for 2 weeks in Abu Dhabi. That's not happening. He's breaking out. He's going to be like Chuck Norris. He'll swim back to New York. He didn't give a fuck.
I don't know, Kenny, man. It's horrible. Can't we all just get along, please?
Exactly.
Can we all just get along? This is horrible.
Man.
It's just amazing, though, having experienced that and lived there for 10 days or whatever it was. That staff is so goddamn locked in terms of the cause at hand that I've never felt more taken care of. So there's no doubt that the UFC can do fights there indefinitely. And with confidence, I say that. So buckle up, you know, I mean, that's not music to my wife downstairs, you know, but it is what it is.
Yes. Yeah. How's she? She's hanging tough with all of this.
That's one way to put it. You know, she didn't love her husband's mustache on TV. I'll tell you that. That's not why I don't have it today, but she did not.
Really? Like, I mean, you notice because I know you don't have a mustache, so I didn't put a mustache on.
Well, that's I can grow a mustache in 48 hours. This doesn't mean anything today. I was going to the beach, so I figured I would try to get some rays on the entire face, so I shaved it. But it'll be back in a few hours.
I love that beach acumen you have. Beautiful.
Yeah.
How'd you like that word, acumen?
That's pretty good out of you. That's pretty good. I just like hearing you support
the ball. I couldn't spell Figueredo, but I could spell tomato. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Tomato, Figueredo, tomato, Figueredo. What is it? Which one?
We might have to start. We might have to actually start doing some sort of spelling bee whereby you could actually win money on this show every week. You know?
I'm a buffoon. Forget about it.
All right. Well, we appreciate your time as always. Thanks for sort of elevating the room, you know, denigrating my energy.
I mean, listen, this is mellow John Anik today. Kenny, you got to fight Cody, somebody.
He doesn't know what time it is. He's somewhere between Vegas time, Abu Dhabi time. He has no idea. Look, he's done. He's cooked.
Look, dude, come on. What can I do to make you? What can I do? Anything I could do to make you happy?
No, I think I'm going to go have some Casamigos tequila before the Jared Gordon interview here.
You know, Kenny, I don't even think he understands. He doesn't even see what's going on. I have my Casanova mustache on right now.
Oh, I don't. No, I can't. Oh my God, I can barely see.
I like that mustache. That's classy.
This is the Casanova. I thought you'd never ask.
Oh, you look good, man. You really do look good. See, I have to come way close.
The Casanova. Well,
yeah, you look great. You actually really do. You got sun splashed. I mean, the hair, I don't even know what to say, but everything else looks pretty good.
Let me tell you, I go to Vegas, man. My hair's going to be down to my ass. You ever see this? Ow! Oh, shoot, that hurt.
This is amazing. I'm just so glad you have a platform, you know? I mean, eventually it'll be the Ray Longo show, but for now we'll take you.
All right, listen. I love you guys. I really do. John?
We love you too.
What time are you going to bed tonight? In about 2 hours?
I'll fall asleep in my daughter's room probably like 8:45, 9.
Wow. So you're close to bedtime.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm looking at 3 to 3:30. I still got a long way to go, man.
Amazing. All right. Well, next week I'm going to be caffeinated. I'm going to be fired up. There's going to be way too much energy. I'll warn you now. But thank you for your contributions, and we'll talk to you in a week. All right.
All right, guys. Take it easy, man. I'll see you next week.
Right.
Take care, Kenny. Take care.
Ray Longo every week here on the Anik and Florian podcast. Support for the show comes from the official electric razor of UFC Manscaped. You ever had an awkward moment where you had to grapple with someone who had a full bush coming out of their singlet? No? Well, thankfully, Manscaped has everything you need to keep your package nice and tidy. Manscaped truly is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Their top-notch ball trimmer called the Lawnmower 3.0 will keep you clean without nicks and cuts. Manscaped has also partnered with top-tier MMA athletes like Max Holloway, Francis Ngannou, Brian T. City, Ortega, and many others who understand that hygiene matters and also know what it takes to be the best. Well, so does this revolutionary men's grooming company, Manscaped. They just redesigned the Lawnmower 3.0. Features a great ceramic blade with proprietary advanced skin-safe technology. No accidents for me with the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0. And for our listeners and viewers who are men, we just don't want you using the same trimmer on your face as you're using on your balls, and we want to help you get there. So to get 20% off and free shipping, all you have to do is go to manscaped.com, enter the code AF, 20% off free shipping. The code is AF at manscaped.com. All right, now joining us just a few days after UFC win number 4, he is back in South Florida. And I know that because I sat right next to him up there in the front cabin. UFC featherweight hopeful Jared Gordon, friend of the program. It's good to see you, man. Congrats on a big win. I know I've congratulated you a lot, but these UFC wins don't come easy. And you got a big one in an interesting climate, man. And we're very happy for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So I know you've sort of retold the story several times, and I don't even know where to begin when it comes to the obstacles to get to fight night. But I guess it looked pretty hairy when you were back home and your fiance had tested positive and it was popping up left and right at Sanford. But somehow you made it to Abu Dhabi, a few more hurdles there, and were able to get the job done.
Yeah, it was just leading up to going to Vegas was definitely pain in the ass. Like 2 weeks before, I got really sick. Thought I had coronavirus, but I tested like 3 times. I came back negative every time, but I had 102 fever. I was super sick. Day after I woke up with fever, my fiance had a miscarriage. She was like 10 weeks long. It's very depressing, obviously. I was in like dad mode, thought I was going to be a dad. Didn't happen. Then she recovers from that and like she wakes up like 3 days later, like, oh, my throat hurts. So we both get tested again. I came back negative. She came back positive for Corona. So then I had to quarantine from her. She was like, you got to get out of here. You know, I've been sleeping in the same bed with her. We've been in the same apartment.
Right.
So I'm like, how am I not going to have it? You know? So right then and there, I had to drop all my things and pack for Abu Dhabi like a week early. You know, she owns a couple of rental units not far from where we live. Luckily, one of them was empty. And they're never empty, but due to the pandemic, this one was empty, luckily. So I was able to go over there. It's fully furnished and quarantine over there. Everyone in my gym was popping positive. Gilbert Burns, as we all know, positive. My coaches, a lot of other guys in my gym. The only person that didn't pop positive was Hooked, Henry Hooked. He's the only one that didn't have it, but he couldn't make it due to other circumstances. So Friday before I left Vegas, I left on Sunday, the UFC calls me and they're like, so what do you want to do about this? You lost all your cornermen. And I was like, do I need a cornerman? Like, is there a rule saying that I need? I'll do this alone. I don't give a shit. I actually contacted Nick Lembo. He's the commissioner in Jersey. And he was like, there's no rules saying you can't, but no one's allowed to bring you water or ice, and you're not allowed to, like, leave the ring to get it yourself. He's like, so if you do go in there by yourself, you're without water and ice. And I was like, I'll take a sip of water. What do I need water for? So, but luckily I had Felder and Eric Nixick and Gary Tonin, who I trained with for years at Henzo's in Manhattan. So that was cool. But of course, Felder flew down on Sunday as well, or the next day, whatever it was. Yeah, that Sunday he came back negative, but he sat next to Dean Thomas on the way down, who was positive for coronavirus. So they made him quarantine in Vegas, so we weren't sure if we were going to have him as a corner. So I get to Vegas. Me and Paul both tested negative. The next morning, we're running together in the parking lot at the Holiday Inn Express. So they know now I've come in contact with Paul, and he was in contact with Dean. But they let that slide because Paul came back negative, but they made him stay. So I am negative in Vegas. They send me to Abu Dhabi. Paul's still in Vegas. I go there alone, no cornermen, no, you know, just John and the UFC production team. Dane is on the plane, all the commentary guys. And so one of the, towards the end of the flight, one of the flight attendants was like, hey, can you come to the front of the plane and take a picture? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So I go to the front. Bisping and Sarah and Dana are there. And the flight attendant's taking forever. He's running around doing stuff. So it's just the four of us, and we're just standing there talking for like 20 minutes. And we're on a plane, so we're right in each other's faces. So we take the picture. I'm hugging Dana. I got Sarah right here. Bisping's to the left of me, whatever.
Right.
Flight attendant and the pilot. We land in Abu Dhabi. It's a crazy scene. You know, all the hazmat people. They test us. We quarantine. I fall asleep, and it's like 4:30 in the afternoon. I'm getting a phone call from Mick Maynard. And actually, I didn't even have his number, so it was just a number from Texas. So I thought it was like spam at first. And I'm looking at it, and it said Houston, Texas. And I'm like, so I answer, and he's like, hey, Jared, it's me, Mick, mate. And I was like, what's up, Mick? And I knew Mick doesn't call me ever. He's not my matchmaker, so I don't talk to him unless I see him at events. So I knew it had to. He's like, I got some bad news, mate. I was like, what? I think he's going to tell me, like, something's wrong with my opponent. He's like, your test came back positive, mate. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, how is that possible? So I got tested on the Wednesday and the Friday before I left for Vegas. I go to Vegas. I get tested. When I got there, I'm negative. So I'm like, all right, I'm good. So and now I'm there. And I got a positive result. So I'm freaking out. And then I start putting two and two together. Holy shit. I was hugging Dana White. Biscayne's face, talking to Sarah, the pilot, everyone else on the plane, the whole UFC production team, Megan Levy, Laura Sanko, John, the rest of the fighters. So now I've exposed the whole plane. You know, it's a 15-hour flight. It's not like it's a 27-minute ride and you're there. And, you know, I'm in everyone's faces, breathing the same air for hours. So I'm freaking out, you know. And then they tell me, well, look, if this next one comes back positive, you have to quarantine here for 2 weeks by yourself. What? I got to sit in Abu Dhabi in the hotel. It's a W hotel. It was nice. But after 2 days of being in that room, you go crazy.
Right, right.
14 days, I was kind of freaking out. So now I'm thinking, holy shit, I'm off the card. I'm here for the next 2 weeks alone. And now I start researching. It's like going on WebMD, you know? So I research, what are the chances of a false positive? And I'm reading things like, the chances are that if you test positive, it's like 99% chance that you have it, because like something triggered that test to show a positive, and it's probably some sort of viral matter or RNA of the virus. So I'm freaking out. I'm thinking, holy shit, I got coronavirus. Right. And now I infected, I'm taking down the whole company, Dana. And then they're, imagine if I was positive, the media would have ate that up. Oh my God.
Yeah.
The UFC botched the plans. Not only did a fighter come to Abu Dhabi positive, but Dana White gets infected. Everyone's dying. This is what's going through my head.
Of course.
And now when I showed up to my room, there was like a display of cookies that said like, welcome to Flight Island on it. And they're delivering food to our room. So I got like plates of food that I can't eat because, you know, I'm like watching what I'm eating. So, like, I get up the phone, the first thing I do is I'm staring at the cookies, you know, and I'm alone. I don't have anyone in the room to work out with. I got to drink 2 gallons of water. I got to work out on a balcony that's, like, 10 by 3. It's, like, 110 degrees there. I have no motivation at this point. I want to just eat, stuff my face, and, like, crawl into a hole. So, spoke to my fiance and my parents. They're like, look, you got to stay in the game. You know, you can't. What if it is a false positive? Then you're going to. So I go through the motions. I eat what I have to eat. I got one workout in. I decided not to do my second workout because I was like so defeated. I have to wait like 12 hours for the next results. So I'm like trying to go to sleep as fast as possible so I can wake up and get the results. And finally, 9:30 in the morning comes. Now I got mixed number saved. It says McMahon, and I answer, and he's like, hey, mate, I got great news. The second test came back negative. I'm like, holy shit, what are you guys doing? You know? Like, so now I got to get my head back in the game. Now I'm like, all right, it's Rocky time. I'm like on the balcony. Yeah. I'm like jumping around.
Yeah.
I'm fucking drinking water.
That'll get you going.
That got me going. All right. So now they're like, all right, they're going to come to your room again. So they made me test in my room. They wouldn't even let me leave. So they come to my room, test me again. All right, now I got to wait another 12 hours to get one more negative. Once I get another negative, I'm clear. All right, great. I'm at this point, I figure I'm golden. I got to be good at this point. Whatever, the next day comes, negative. All right. All this shit is not. So I'm thinking to myself, all right, I got two more things to do. I got to make weight. So this is my first time back to 45 in over three years. I got to make weight, and I got to win the fight, obviously. So I wake up on day of weighing. I'm 158.5. So I got 12 and a half pounds. So Felder is the only one there helping me. And we've cut weight together numerous times, talking to Ian Larios, my nutritionist from Lockhart, the Lockhart guys. So I call him. He's like, all right, you're a little heavy. But let's do this. So I get in the sauna I do like two, I do 20 minutes in the sauna, 20 minutes in my sauna suit on the balcony and just sitting there, 20 minutes in the sauna, 20 minutes on the back, 30 minutes wrapped up on the balcony. I'm like, all right, I'm going to check my weight. I was sweating so much. I couldn't believe it. Paul's like, I don't know, man. It's been less than like an hour and you're going to be disappointed when you get on the scale, you know? So I got on the scale, fucking 151. I lost 7.5 pounds in about an hour. So I'm like, hell yeah, golden. I got this. So I rest for like 3 hours, 4 hours. I get back in the sauna like one. The last 4.5, 5 pounds, you know, it took a little bit of a push, but I got it done and weighed in at 145. I wasn't 145. I was like 146 on the dot, but it was a sliding scale. So the guy was like 145. And I was like, hell yeah. Championship weight. And I felt good, man. It was like my best weight cut ever. I usually cramp a little bit, feel really crappy at that point. I've definitely gotten better at cutting weight. And I made weight fine. I rehydrated great. And then I remember I back in my room that night, I'm like, all right, one more test. We'll win this fight. And I dominated 30-26 every round. But I felt a little sluggish, a little slow on the feet. And I felt composed. I looked composed, but I just didn't have that snap and that explosiveness that I normally have. But I went through a lot and time difference, jet lag. I think it all affected me. But I got the job done. And that was the third fight on my contract. So sitting all right right now.
You're no stranger to adversity, man, but dealing with all this crap before your fight, what does this do to you now mentally moving forward, especially as you kind of start this new division now?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know how familiar you are, Kenny, with my background, but I've sat like in jail cells facing 25 to life. I've been homeless on the streets, panhandling. I've been in a lot of crazy situations. So like, yeah, this was very, you know, I had to persevere. But it's nothing I'm not used to. That's like my life story, is perseverance. So and I'm just grateful, super lucky to even be able to make a living during these times, especially in sports, do what I love for a living. I'm like the luckiest guy in the world. So I'm just going to work hard, fix the, you know, make the adjustments I have to make fight wise, because I have adjustments to make. But I think that's a good thing, because there's a room for growth and I'm winning fights dominantly. And it's only up from here. So feel good.
So I know I asked you this privately, Jared, just in terms of how you spin this thing forward. And I think we saw Grant Dawson compete this weekend, and it's like he can't just turn around and make 45. And you're sort of in the same boat, right? So it's not like you can just take these featherweight fights on short notice. But this is a weird climate, I would think, for fighters, right? Because a lot of guys who are able to stay low are able to turn around quickly. I know you want to get one in, at least one more in 2020, but what can you tell us and maybe your fans who would like to see you get back in there, you know, sooner rather than later?
So everyone keeps asking me, oh, who's next? Who's next? Who do you want next? And honestly, like these last 12 months, I haven't been thinking about anything, but this next, the fight that I just fought, because who knew if I was even going to get there with everything that was going on.
Right.
I still really haven't thought about who I want next. Obviously, I was looking at some of the guys that fought on my card and the recent cards. I mean, Grant Dawson's a great fighter, and I think I match up well with him. We kind of almost have the same style. I think it would be a really great fight. Wow. I actually like the kid. We're friendly. Every time I see him, we're always saying hello. But I don't give a shit who you are. I'll still punch you in the face. And then we'll, you know, hug it out after. So, you know, I think there's a couple of guys that I definitely, you know, where I am in my career and where they are, we match up pretty well. And, you know, going forward, you know, I would imagine we're both. I mean, I know I'm not top 15. I know he's not. So I think that's a fight that makes sense for sure. Yeah. And then, you know, you start looking at guys in the top 15, I would say, after one or two more at least. So, yeah, that makes sense. There's other guys out there that Amir Akani, I know he's got like, I know he's like 6-1 though. So I'm probably a little further behind him. But, you know, the UFC is, you see guys fighting title fights that necessarily don't even deserve them. So who's to say who deserves what? And plus, the guys that I've been in there with, like, you know, I might not have beat them, but you know, I fought Charles Oliveira, I fought Diego Ferreira. They're both ranked. I have wins over some pretty good guys. So I think I, like, relatively, and the amount of fights that I have, like, I'm right there with some of these guys. So I think there's a lot of good matchups in my future, and I'm ready to go.
You're piquing my interest, man. Well, you got to break out your Yankees hat, because I don't know if you know this, but opening day is in like 3 days, bro. So
I don't know shit about baseball. I was a Yankees fan when I was.
I know.
Especially '98.
I just to give you a hard time. Have you had pizza since the win? You told me you were going to have some pizza. You got that in. Yeah. All right.
Good. I got pizza with some prosciutto on it. And we had some eggplant parmesan. What else we got, babe? Cake.
All right.
Some tres leches. Hey, wait, I got something to say. Ken, I have a mutual friend with you. Eric Owings.
Oh, yeah.
I worked for him for like a year.
Oh, cool, man.
At Mution. Yeah, I was at Mution for a while. And then I don't know if you remember. It's a long time ago, obviously, but. You played for BU, right? Soccer?
BC, actually.
BC? Okay, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Do you remember a guy named Jamie Hadzima?
Yeah, man.
So
yeah, you knew Jamie.
I was close friends with him. I don't know if you know.
Of course.
He passed away.
I do. Yeah, I was getting the updates from his family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't know how close you were, so I wasn't sure if you knew, but. Yeah, man. He always just talked about you, man. Kenny would be running up and down the field, like, just wouldn't stop. It was a while ago. I was watching you while I was, like, you know, I was 18, 19 watching you in UFC, and I was a huge fan of yours. I figured I'd give you a little blast from the past.
Thank you so much, man. Yeah, it's awesome to see you back on track and doing so well. So keep it up, brother.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Ken.
Jared, we were saying too, you know, there's a lot of fans from maybe a different era when they think of those ground and pound elbows, or they think of elbows, you know, Ken Flo's one of the names they think about. So I can't wait to see you fucking unleash some of those elbows. I know you were close to putting him away, but I know how good your ground and pound is, and I think you take it to the next level, you start to you know, cause some stitches.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, it's coming.
Well, hey, man, we're super happy for you. Seriously, man. I can't even imagine what everything was like. But, you know, I appreciate, you know, having your ear, obviously, as we were going through some stuff. And I know Kamaru Usman was a huge sort of source of support for you even before his title fight. And, you know, I just wanted you to tell your story today because it's fucking crazy. But enjoy your fiance. Enjoy some food. And if there's ever anything we can do for you, we're right here, kid.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jared. Good luck.
Jared Gordon. Big win over Chris Fishgold on UFC Fight Island in Abu Dhabi. Fucking elbows, man. Just fucking open up those elbows for the Ken Flo. All right. It's crazy, but there's still another fight card. There are 15 fights coming up on July 25th. Let's get to the main event challenge.
It's the main event challenge. Anik.
The time is most definitely now.
Florian.
I finished fights. I'm going to do everything possible to win.
The main event challenge. The John Anik and Kenny Florian podcast.
All right, you can find him on social media at Ian Parker MMA. Perhaps he will be changing it to like the Duck MMA. It's remarkable the extent to which that nickname has taken off. Maybe should slow your roll on some merchandise, but I'm just trying to pump you up. It's good to see you, man.
Yeah, listen, don't hit on the merchandise. I got some great designs going. I got a bat signal, but for the duck coming along, don't worry, Kenny. We'll make sure we get you a 15% off, so you'll be fine.
Nice.
But listen, the duck is caught on. People are hashtagging it, and people don't even call me by my name. They'll literally just tweet, "Yo, duck, who do you like in this?" And then when Calvin Cater wrote something about duck boats, I know in New England, Boston, it's a thing. I thought he initially. No, it's not a knock. Whoa. Listen, I'm really out fucking numbered here with New York to Boston, so I'm not going to even step in that direction. But I thought he was calling me out a little bit. So I was like, you said duck? And then I realized that I don't want to fuck with Calvin Cater at all. So
and
we're good.
And don't flatter yourself with the duck boats. You got a lot of championship parades in Boston. They put the athletes on the duck boat. And if Cater wins one, they might even invite me on the duck boat.
That's right.
I've actually been on it. No, I was just making a joke. Yeah. You feel the need to bury me as the duck.
No. All right. So not a great week on the predictions, but I just want to give you a chance to talk about anybody out there who performed. So I'm going to throw some names your way, and you can really take it wherever you want. So much talent, so many incredible performances. Like Grant Dawson, you know, as I talk about MMA stock, I wish that we could, like, go put stock or buy stock in these fighters, because I would go buy as much Grant Dawson stock as they would let me buy. Armand Tsarukyan is incredible. Davison Figueiredo, if you got 2 cents on him. Obviously, the guys whose names maybe were off the radar and are now on, Khamzat Chimaev, Munir Lazez, Modestus Bukauskas, want to shout him out as well. Even Tyler Santos, right? I mean, we're looking for flyweight contenders. She looks like a beast, 16-1. You know, what do you got for me?
Nobody pronounces names that fast and in that order the way John Anik does.
I've had a bad show overall, but thank you, buddy.
No, you're good. You're good. You saved the best for me. I understand. Chimaev, I think, is one of the more exciting prospects. I can't believe he's already fighting next week. I hope he gets another quick finish so we could see this guy. He, you know, I read a lot about him. I watched some tape. And when people were asking what I thought was going to happen, like with Phillips, I would have been shocked if it didn't end in a first round sub. You know, or second round sub, however it went. The significant strike difference was wild. He just really showed that even at 6-0, he was really ready. Grant Dawson, I think he's the real deal. What I thought was more impressive about him is when, I don't know if he got knocked down or if he slipped, but when he popped up, he still was able to time that flying knee. And even though the guy ate the knee, the guy still had great position around his hips, and there was no threat there. Dawson just looked very well polished. I'd like to see, obviously, as his striking evolves a little bit more, therefore the grappling doesn't become as predictable. But yeah, prospect-wise, stock-wise, absolutely. Armand, that kid is a fucking animal at age 23, and we talked about this. You know, and I thought it was interesting that he was such a big favorite over Hamos, you know, with the guy's jiu-jitsu background. But this dude, A, physique-wise, he looks like me, so I give him credit for that. And, you know, Kenny, get a little closer. We're going to break you today. You know, but I just think Armand's the real deal. I think that was a pretty good step up in competition. He dominated. And Figueiredo, my God, I don't know if we've seen someone who looks more like a actual comic book villain, plays the role and performs the way he does. You know, I thought he might have got tired out after all the punches he threw trying to finish Joey B. And kudos to Joey B for hanging in there and not getting tapped after that first shot. But man, it's just, have we seen someone finish the way he does that weight class? The answer is obviously no. It's too bad Demetrius Johnson's still not here. And it's too bad Henry Cejudo has moved on for the weight class, because I think that would have been a really fun fight.
Yeah, see, it's interesting, right? That's the problem with the division. That's what scares me when people immediately want to spin it to guys who aren't around. You know?
Yeah, no, I know, because right now the only person I can think of who would be next is Brandon Moreno. And I think Moreno might present an interesting challenge scrambling-wise. We know he's got a good chin. I just don't know if having a good chin matters against this fucking evil supervillain. You know, he's not an evil person, obviously. Yeah. He literally has that look like, I'm going to kill you. You know, he really does. So
that Russian Askarov is someone to watch. I think he will definitely be fighting for the belt at some point, too. So, yeah, some interesting things there in that division.
I like him, and I like Pantoja. I don't know if that win over Pantoja was dominant enough for me to believe that right now he could beat Fig, because I thought round one went to Pantoja with all those sub attempts. You know, the second round, I also thought Pantoja landed the more impactful strikes. And the third round, Askarov just, you know, had more in the tank. I do agree with you. He's someone to watch out for. Obviously, getting out of some of those submissions was very impressive. And I think those are the two guys that you might see get recycled again in a division that seems to recycle its title shots. Yeah. So,
well, at least, at the very least, there's a champion worth getting wicked excited about. All right, let's make some picks. What a fight card it is. UFC Fight Night, Whitaker versus Till. What a main event, I guess I should say. 15 deep. Gives me anxiety just looking at the fight card, if I'm being honest. So we got 6 picks overall today. Scoreboard is now 85-79. So Ken Flo went 1-1 against Gamblue. 2-2 against Ian Parker, both those cappers repping Team Addicts. So it's a 6-point lead still. And we got 6 picks today. We'll start with a fight that was actually supposed to go down July 15th in the strawweight division. Marina Rodriguez, -150, the favorite. Carla Esparza, the former champion, the +130 underdog. So I think Rodriguez or someone in her camp tested positive for COVID-19. So a little delay here. It happens 10 days later. Rodriguez, so 12-0-2, undefeated, but already has two majority draws in the UFC. Esparza Ian has won three in a row, vaulted back to number 7 in the world. Competitive fight here. I love this division. Who do you think takes it?
Oh, I'm all over Rodriguez on this one. I think when you talk prospect in this division, I just love her aggression. Her takedown defense in her last fight just showed the evolution in her game that she wants to keep this fight standing, and she knows how to do it. I think Carla has come a long way from being that dominant wrestler to realizing that that type of style is not strong enough to be at the top of that division. Her hands have gotten better, but I just think she's running into someone right now that if this fight stays standing for three rounds, Rodriguez has the gas tank to do it. I think she is one of the nastier punchers and strikers in this division. Reminds me a little bit of Joanna a little bit with those knees and those kicks. So I'm definitely going Rodriguez in this one.
I mean, you think Ian Parker did his homework on Marina Rodriguez watching that fucking Rodriguez film? Power to you, because I know you watched every last prelim over the last 10 days, and you would have it no other way.
No other way.
And you're getting out a little bit, too. I'm not saying you're a coronavirus tough guy, but you're getting out a little bit.
What do you mean getting out? I'm sitting on my fucking chair. That's as far as I'm going. Dude, I go to like Petco or Target and I sit in the car while my wife is all masked up going in. That's the extent.
No, I know.
Bro, we're at the epicenter of the bottom. Oops. Sorry. Epicenter of the bottom of the earth right now. I'm not stepping more than, I'll get in the car though and drop off some coffee for you.
Why don't you tell Ken Flo and our listeners the dog that you brought home over the weekend?
So I got this potential 200-pound half Great Dane, half English Mastiff, and I named him Thanos. And Kenny, if you keep fucking with me, I'm gonna ride him to California.
Seriously,
make him put his jaws here, and you're gonna hit that fucking follow button with that dog in your face. No, I'm kidding, but yeah, I did do that. He's awesome, though. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking. COVID makes you do a lot of weird shit, and this was like a 48-hour decision. I was hoping my wife would have been like, no, you're stupid. But she saw the video. She's like, oh, fuck you. Just get him. And that was that. He flew on a plane. This breeder flew on a plane from California and flew here. Gets off the plane, all masked up, shield up. And he's like, yo, Ian, here's your dog. And like, he's rolling up in this bag. And when I pulled the dog out, there was more dog and more dog and more dog. And he's awesome.
Dude, he's a horse. You're going to need a saddle for him for sure.
It's awesome.
Well, listen, Ian has done his homework, but I do think Rodriguez is very dangerous on the feet. If the fight stays on the feet, Rodriguez is probably going to knock out Calvillo. Her length, her range. I think she's very dangerous. I just think, why did I say Calvillo? I was talking about the Calvillo fight. Calvillo was trying to take her down, but Calvillo doesn't have the same kind of takedowns that Esparza has. I think Esparza is going to be able to get her to the mat. And as good as Rodriguez is on the ground, on the feet, I can't even talk today. She's just not very good on the ground. I think Esparza could TKO her, maybe even get a submission. I like Esparza here. I really do.
I like the fight, and I like that underdog selection. We'll see how it plays out. All right, featured bout in the UFC heavyweight division where Alexander Gustafsson now resides. He's a -290 favorite against the former champ Fabricio Werdum. Vaikavalo can be had around +245 if you got the appetite for that. So this will be Gustafsson's UFC heavyweight debut. I couldn't find any heavyweight fight on his resume prior in mixed martial arts. Ian, what do you think here about Werdum and Gustafsson on the main card?
Well, here's how I pictured this went. Gustafsson was watching Werdum's last fight, and when it was over, he shot Dana in text and said, I really want to come back, and I'll fight at heavyweight, and I'll fight anyone between Fabricio Werdum and Fabricio Werdum. Yeah. And when Dana was like, you got it, he went, yeah. Listen, Werdum looked like shit in that last fight. Not only did he just look terrible everywhere, his body looked like he just has been going through the COVID eating process and just didn't care. I think he didn't take Alexei Olmec too seriously, clearly. And I just think Gustafsson, it gives him a chance. I don't know where Doom is really going to scare him here. He's not taking Alex down at all. There's no way. Gustafsson has got great takedown defense, and the striking is light years. So if you're going to take a heavyweight fight against a name on a resume, I think Gustafsson is probably pretty happy at this moment, and I'm going to go with him as well.
I'm glad you picked Gus because I couldn't stand to hear you say Verdum another time. Kenfo, last win for Fabricio Verdum.
You don't correct Kenny. He didn't even say the right person in the last fight. What the fuck is
I was waiting I for it. An opportunity. I mean, I got enough hours in broadcasting to know that if I can't get in right away to correct the mistake, maybe you let it lie. Maybe you find a time to circle back. You know, maybe you just let the guy fucking go. You know, Fair enough. Verdum, though, Kenfo, last win, November of 2017. Gus has also lost two straight. That includes his last fight, which was all the way back in June of 2019. He was submitted by Anthony Lionheart Smith. So Gustafson, a prohibitive favorite here. You think we get a better version of Verdum than the Olenek fight, and how do you see it?
I mean, I would imagine so, right? I mean, Verdum's got to come in better shape, better game plan. He just looked rusty all the way around and just didn't look like he put in the work in camp. So it's tough, man. He's kind of at the end of his career a little bit. I love Fabricio. You know, the things that he has accomplished in martial arts, you know, from his jiu-jitsu career to his submission wrestling to what he's done in mixed martial arts is unbelievable. But I don't love this matchup here against Gustafson, even though Gustafson, you know, fought, you know, at 205. I think that Gustafson sees something in Verdum. I think he believes that he's going to be able to keep this on the feet, stop the takedowns, and just get the better of him on the feet. So I like Gustafson here. I think it should be, you know, pretty decisive victory.
All right, co-main event. You can see this on ESPN and ESPN Plus. Third meeting between Shogun Hua, who's the minus 200 favorite, and Antonio Rogério Nogueira, who comes back at plus 170. All right. So I did a little research today. Kenflo, Shogun has one loss since 2014. Okay. Wrap your head around that. One fucking loss since 2014, right? Everybody sees him on these memes. Is that what they're called, Ian, right? With the skateboard, with Ovin St. Preux or whatever, yeah. Right? Guys lost one time since then. 4-1-1 over his last six. So he fought Little Nog in his 11th pro fight. That was that legendary Pride meeting back in 2005. Then the rematch, UFC 190 in 2015. That was a fight of the night, I believe. It was a second win for Shogun. They complete the trilogy here. Shogun's 38. Rogério Nogueira is 44. He was born exactly 7 days after Kenny Florian in 1976. Ian Parker, who wins the co-main event, and how do they get it done?
How is Mini Nog younger than you, Kenny? How is that possible?
Dude,
that's a lot of damage. It's a lot of miles on that on those twins. My God. This is man. I mean, I listen, and John, that's a crazy fact with Shogun. I actually didn't even realize that. And I guess he fights like once a year and he gets the win. He's like, yo, wait while I'm ahead, take the chips and walk away.
Cody's checking my math right now. And I believe it's accurate.
I know he is. That's the problem. Cody wants to be able to see you. You're checking all of our shit and texting John like he's fucked up. Hit him up, right? All right. So this, listen, this is an exciting fight between two veterans. I think Shogun, though, is going to win this fight. I think the better striker, I think if he takes his fight to the ground, he'll finish him with ground and pound. You know, I hate to see either one of these guys get finished, but maybe it's a better thing for them to get finished quick than to get the shit kicked out of him for three rounds. I like Shogun here. I just think that where he's at 38 compared to where Lil Nog's at 103, I like Shogun here. Second round TKO. I just don't see this fight going that long. No way.
Kenflo, Shogun, Lil Nog 3. Who do you like?
Jeez. You know, it's really tough to see, you know, what kind of fighter we're going to see in either of those guys. They certainly have a whole lot of miles on them. You know, I believe Shogun lost to Anthony Smith, though, right? Did he lose to Anthony Smith?
Yes, that's the loss, like the only loss.
Yeah, the only loss. That was the one. Yeah, so
there's a draw in there, you know, but I just couldn't believe it. I'm looking at all the screen and plaque on Wikipedia.
Win this and he's getting a title shot.
Yeah, listen, not that Anthony Smith is the same kind of guy as a Rogério, but I think Rogério could pose some problems. He's got some decent hands. He hits hard. But I think, you know, with Shogun's experience, Rogério's experience, anything can happen here. I don't think it's so clear who's going to win, but I'll go with Shogun as well. I think, you know, his ability to mix things up a little bit more than Rogério, I think, will be the difference. Not sure we'll see a finish here, but I like Shogun for the win as well.
All right, you want to give me a method of victory for the record?
Let's do decision win for Shogun.
All right, UD, Shogun, Hua. All right, main event. Oh, how good is this? I got to stay awake for this one. The former UFC middleweight champion, Robert Whittaker, slightly favored, minus 115. Darren Till, the gorilla, comes back at minus 105. So Till looked real good, I thought, in a win over Kelvin Gastelum last November. That was UFC 244. Did what he had to do to win on points. Whittaker has been out a month longer than that. 9-fight winning streak and the title reign stopped by Israel Adesanya. That was last October, UFC 243. Ian, we'll start with you here. I mean, the winner of this fight may not get a championship opportunity, but certainly is going to be in prime position here at 185 pounds. I know we've talked about this privately. Killer main event, Whittaker Till. I'm glad I don't have to make a pick. You fucking do. Who do you like?
You know what? I'm surprised the lines are where, where they are. You know, I was, what's the way to explain this? I don't want to take anything away from Till's win. But I don't know if I was as impressed with Till's win as I was just so unimpressed with Gastelum not pulling the trigger at all in that fight until the last round where he finally went for some takedowns. He didn't throw a whole lot. That first round, I think Till landed like 6 punches to his 2. It was a feeling out process. And I just think against a guy in Robert Whittaker, you cannot do that. You know, let's look at who Whittaker lost to, and that's really it in a really long time. And it's Israel Adesanya, 2 fights against Romero. First time he's had really a long time injury free to be healthy and to take the time to train. I think this is a lot for Till to take on, just going from Gastelum to the former champ, and not just a former champ in my opinion. I think Whittaker just doesn't get a ton of credit because he's not the most popular guy and the biggest name. I mean, like, man, those fights against Romero, even though they could have went either way, Romero just didn't make weight. You know, what he did going from 170 to 185, I think people seem to really forget, like, rebuilding that career in that division. I think he's going to be the better boxer. I think he's going to have the better cardio. He's been there before in the 5 rounds, and Till hasn't done so well in the 5 round fights. You know, he really hasn't. I love Till's social media. I'm not happy that he said he wouldn't shag us because the Attic and Florian pod offered that. And he said no. He also has not accepted the Ducks invitation for an Instagram live. So there's no chance I'm picking him here, bias on the side. But I like Robert Whittaker. I don't know if I really would like to say like 3rd round TKO. I just think Whittaker has that in him. But at the moment, I'm going to play it safe and say Whittaker wins by decision.
And what a fight it figures to be if it goes 25 minutes. Ken Flo, Whittaker, the favorite here for our purposes on a Monday. Who do you like in the main event?
Till did beat Wonder Boy in a 5 rounder, didn't he? Was that a 5 rounder?
If you go back and watch that fight and you could honestly tell me you thought Till won that, well, fine. Yeah. But that was the only one. That was a really, John, I don't know if you agree. That was a real controversial win.
I thought Wonder Boy won that as well. I agree with you. But, I think when you look at who the better karate fighter is, Wonder Boy or Whittaker, I think Wonder Boy is still kind of head and shoulders above it, you know, in my opinion, as far as a striker. However, you know, that blitzing style that Whittaker has, it definitely can pose a problem for someone like Darren Till. You look at the way that Masvidal knocked him out. It was a stomp into that little blitz. And Darren Till's got to be very smart and very respectful of that blitz of Robert Whittaker. He's nasty with the blitz. He's nasty with that left hook. Not that I see Darren Till attempting too many takedowns against Whittaker, but clearly Whittaker has some serious takedown defense, has a ton of experience in 5-round fights. Both these guys, you know, have dealt with some losses and they've always come back stronger. Whittaker, you know, kind of being embarrassed, by Adesanya in his last fight, you got to imagine he's going to be way more settled down, way more composed in this fight. But Darren Till can pose a lot of problems. I think he's still going to be big for that division, might be the bigger man even against, Whittaker. So I'm curious. I think if Darren Till goes out there and is very patient and plays that, you know, round by round game and tries to play the point game, I think he can do very well and probably pull off a decision win. Can he stay disciplined enough? I'm not so sure. I think when you look at the guy who's been there 25 minutes against some of the best in the world again and again, I like Robert Whittaker to win. Let's go by decision again here. Let's go with Whittaker.
All right. Both the experts like Robert Whittaker. And I do believe competing without fans in these environments, right? And Fight Island is louder than the UFC Apex in Vegas. It's a 30-foot octagon, seems like a bigger floor. It's louder, right? Like at one point I said stunned silence after a finish and people were getting on me, but it was seriously quieter in that moment than it had been prior. So I do think that it can lend itself to a slow start, which to Ian's point maybe wouldn't be great for Darren Till, but I also think you've seen a lot of guys who really start quickly, Aljamain Sterling and others. So it's a unique environment. I think Whitaker's style might be pretty conducive to it, but I guess we shall find out. All right, any quick picks here for the record? Ian, welterweight, Alex Oliveira -170, Peter Sabata +150. Which way are you going there?
Cowboy Oliveira.
Ken Flo, Cowboy Oliveira, Peter Sabata. Who do you like?
Man. I'll go with Oliveira as well.
All right. And then at light heavyweight, guys, Gad Zamorod, Antigulov -130. Paul Bearjew, Craig +110. Ian, what do you got?
As much as I love the Bearjew, I can never, ever pick him or bet on him for all the obvious reasons. So whatever the other guy's fucking last name is that you said, I took too long making a joke about Bearjew. I didn't get the pronunciation, so
That's good.
I'll go with Antigulov.
Yeah.
There you go.
He'll pronounce it for you, too. Fucking trust on Canflo. All right, well, we are going to mercifully get on out of here. AnnickFlorianPodcast.com is now live. There's codes up there if you want merchandise. Ian, have you purchased a T-shirt with the AF monogram on it yet, or are you waiting for the duck T-shirts?
You know, I was going to say something about Cody. The shipping is so delayed because of COVID. Yes, I'm waiting for the duck T-shirts. Yes.
Unbelievable, this guy, right? I mean, consummate team guy in so many respects, right? Yet you drop fucking 5 G's on a 250-pound Thanos. We can't buy an Anakin Florian podcast.
He was not fine. I swear to God.
I know. It was a rescue, right?
And he definitely was not. I am not rescuing a dog. That's going to be as big as fucking Brock Lesnar. I will not take that chance. No, right. This dog was not 5,000. It was from a breeder. He was affordable. He looks like a fucking, he's got the coolest colors.
Good luck picking up those massive poops, by the way. Oh my God. It's like picking up a little baby every time he shits.
Dude, I can't believe it. Like he came in here and I took him for a walk. He took a dump and I'm like, no, like at least give me like a few months before you hit big weight. He's shitting as big as my 75-pound boxer, and he's only 20 pounds. And I didn't even fucking feed him. I don't even know what.
You need a trash bag to pick that up.
I got a fucking shovel and like a hefty bag attached to it. Just gonna fucking right into my sister-in-law's backyard that lives right next to me.
Yeah.
Well, she's got a Chihuahua and a Chihuahua. I'm gonna be like, it's your dog.
Yeah. Well, Kenny, let's be honest. I mean, they're in Florida. They're not picking up any of that poop. Come on.
That's true.
Hey. When I was a dog owner, I did pick that up. But you're right. Not a great percentage down here.
No,
so,
backyard. What do I got to pick up?
COVID-19 has been really good for dogs, though, right? There are a lot of people who are becoming first-time dog owners, rescues flying off the shelves, you know. Then you got people like Ian your response was great. Like, it's insane. Right. To welcome a 200-pound dog into the family. Right. Like, I can't even wrap my head around that. I got three dependents downstairs and you texted me, you only live once. And I do think that's sort of your attitude in a lot of respects. And I do think with that mindset, I wish you all the best. But this is a crazy undertaking. You know,
my dad said to me one of the coolest thing about being an adult is that you can get a dog whenever you want. And your parents can't say shit.
Yeah,
because they always said no to me about a dog and Xbox or PlayStation, whatever it was. And I didn't even get a TV in my room until I was a fucking junior in high school. So listen, it's probably not the best decision. I'm going to be honest. It's probably really terrible. But
no, it's great. It's great.
What are we going to do with COVID? You know?
Hey, man, the dog pressure I got downstairs has never been hotter. Right. Obviously. Yeah. Right. All their friends are fucking every other day. Fucking getting a text. Oh, Stella got a dog. Oh, the neighbor's got a fucking dog, you know? So
send them to my house, let them do the responsibilities for a day, and I guarantee they go home and they go, "Dad, I want a fucking guinea pig."
Yeah. Yeah.
give me a goldfish.
Yeah. You know? We got fish. All right, we got to get on out of here. AnnickFlorianPodcast.com. Ken Flo's jiu-jitsu school as Cody's beautiful dog is now sharing our screen. MorocciBJJ.com. We got to get on out of here. We'll be back on Monday. We'll recap Whitaker Till and UFC fights keep on coming. Hopefully it's Las Vegas. Hopefully it's Holly Holm and Irene Aldana on August 1st. And we'll have picks from the fellas next week. Thanks to Ray Longo and Jared Gordon, a couple of New Yorkers, Ian Parker. Way too much New York today. This has been a VMG production. Thanks to our producer, Cody Merrow. For Ken Paul, I'm John Anik. We'll talk to you guys in less than 7 days. Until then, just don't text and drive. Wear your fucking mask. Yo, later.
I'm Royal Oaks. Next time on Too Many Lawyers, we take on a couple of villains to sort out whether bad stuff is also illegal stuff. George Santos won a seat in Congress by lying to voters, but is that a crime? And Kanye West made it clear he hates Jews. In England, he'd go to jail for that. Here in America, did he commit a hate crime? Listen to Too Many Lawyers on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family, and 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start. Same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley SAB to CV 2024, Proximo, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.